Welcome to Podnuts Computer Repair Podcast, episode number 238, Personality in Your Business. I am your host, Jeff Halish. This is our live call-in show for computer repair techs. We answer your questions on running and operating your computer repair business. Call-in number is 1-888-697-0162. The Computer Repair Podcast is brought to you by Ninja, the simple-to-use remote monitoring and management solution. Try it free at info.ninjamsp.com/podnuts. Let me introduce the co-hosts. We have, well, let's see. We've got John Dubinsky from the Maven Group. How are you doing, John?
Locked and loaded, ready to launch.
And also joining us, we have Chris Carruthers from Remote Support Tech Team. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm a ghost.
With no video today, but that's okay. We just want the wonderful voice and knowledge from the man.
Like, and Morgan Freeman.
There you go. The voice of God. Okay.
Did you see that movie that he's in?
Also joining us, we have Paco LeBron from Prodigy Techs. How you doing, Paco?
Better than good, better than most, Jeff.
Oh, you know your tagline this week. Awesome.
I do.
All right, let's go ahead and take some time, and we will share a tip or story that we could learn from. And Chris, why don't you go ahead and take it away?
Sure. I would have to say that the biggest tip that I have learned from this week is don't believe your customers, ever.
So do tell.
Yeah. So I get called out to this business, and this business has a lighthouse, and the lighthouse has weather equipment, and the weather equipment has to... long story short, weather equipment comes, sends the information in, information goes on the internet, information goes from the internet onto their website, and then everybody that's part of that business can see what the weather's like on the lighthouse. That's it's a lot. It sounds a lot more complicated than it really is. And I get called out to take a look at everything to figure out why the weather information is only working intermittently, why they're not constantly streaming. And the first question I asked was, have you contacted the manufacturer to see if there's anything that could possibly be happening before I bill you $130 an hour to come do it? And they said, oh, yes, of course. And then I get there, and after 15 minutes with the documentation, I find out that the reason why it's not working is because the app on the PC has to be running, and they shut this computer down all the time. So anytime the computer was off, the weather information was not updating. Beyond that, they said, hey, we want to be able to talk to our security system from outside the network. So I changed the IP address on the security system after asking the vendor twice, hey, is this going to break anything? They said no. Their security system is now being put back to factory default by the vendor because changing the IP address broke everything.
Oh,
yeah. So it was a really fun time. I still got paid, so I'm not really complaining. The client's happy. They know that I did my job, but yeah. So I'm learning less and less to trust people that aren't me.
And that's a really good point, because a lot of times what people think the symptoms of a problem are have nothing really to do with the problem itself. Whew. Okay. All right, Mr. Dubinsky, would you like to regale us with a story of woe, or maybe a tip or something we could learn from?
I got three quick tips today, Jeff.
Three little quickies,
and I'm not getting any younger, so let's make them quick. First one is, I got a little excited in my news feed, and I don't know why I got excited, but I'm a Google Play Music user. I don't know if anybody else is. So I saw, hey, there's now a Windows app, Google Play for desktop, Windows app. And I thought, man, that might be handy in Windows 10. Google doesn't make it. It's made by a third party. So I don't know why that kind of shrunk me away. But if you get that in your feed and you're a big Google guy, I just didn't feel really comfortable giving my login credentials to a stranger.
Okay.
And there's no information on the site about that. So that burst my bubble. And I'm moving up in my excitement level of these three things as we go through them. Second one, I don't know if you guys all saw that Malwarebytes now has endpoint protection for business that is cloud managed and cloud protection, next generation antivirus replacement for businesses. I have not checked it out yet, but if anybody knows anything about it or is using it and has a warm and fuzzy about it, I'd appreciate an email or 2 cents or called into the show.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see what's the difference between their endpoint security versus their endpoint protection. Because the endpoint security, well, it came out like, what, 6 months ago or so, around 3.0?
Well, if they're like everybody else, I'd have to make that assumption that it's the same engine, probably just feature-wise different. I mean, yeah, I'm sure the Panda I use is for corporate has a lot of the same engine components as the consumer, but that's a great question. And I also would be willing to bet that we're going to learn a lot about it at the unconvention.
Mm, that's true.
Right. Since Mailwarebytes is going to be there, and that might be handy. And maybe they'll even, I don't know, give us a discount or some sort of special treatment since we're at the uncon. And then last but not least, I don't know if everybody heard that Continuum RMM has been purchased.
Oh, do tell. By
a company, yes. Toma Bravo is the name of the company that bought them, and probably nobody's heard of them. They're just a big fund of companies that buy companies. The reason to me that this was interesting is Toma Bravo is the same company that owns SolarWinds.
Oh, man, I could have called that like a mile off.
So, you know, and you read all the articles and they're saying that it's not going to affect SolarWinds, so on and so forth. I just thought that was cute. Just a little bit more consolidation in our industry. So three quick tips. How about?
All right. And those are all great tips. And yeah, as far as acquisitions go, this stuff happens all the time for various reasons. I think a lot of times these companies, I don't know if they build it as an exit strategy to get to a certain point, but I love competition in the marketplace because it drives a little bit of price and drives a little bit of people, kind of sort of a competition where people are competing against each other to have the type of product that the people in the industry want. So it'll be interesting. It keeps getting smaller and smaller, it seems. So, and obviously Continuum was charging for all their products and services, right?
Oh yeah. Okay. And I mean, the cable companies are doing the same thing. You see it in every industry. Spectrum, right? Whoever owns Spectrum bought out Time Warner, Bright House, right? And they're doing all of that stuff with the internet services and cable services for those areas. So, you know, you see it in every single industry where we're going from having a lot of competition to having large companies owning a bunch of small companies to give you the illusion of a non-monopoly, whatever that's called. Maniopoly?
Maniopoly. That's a good word. I don't know if it's real, but it's a good word.
Wasn't it Continuum that had that issue where they were breached a while ago or something like that? Or they were breached twice? I can't remember which RMM platform that was, but... if it was them, I'm wondering if it was one of those where they just kind of felt the heat and maybe there was such a big dip that they decided to get out.
See, what I don't understand is when it comes to breaches, there's two types of companies out there. There's companies that have been breached and there's companies that have not been breached yet. Those are the only two. And everybody at some point or another is 100% vulnerable to being hacked. Now, the difference would be is the information they get out of that hack. A good company that does even decent encryption is a bunch of gobbledygook that nobody can read or parse or do anything with. Yeah, they got a bunch of gobbledygook. Who cares? But man, people will freak out as soon as a company gets hacked for whatever reason. And it's like, we should know better. As technologists, as IT people in the technology field, we should know better than just to read the headlines and go, oh, this is the worst thing since whatever, the apocalypse, I don't know, whatever. And so I laugh at these things sometimes where I go, who cares? Yeah, somebody got breached. Oh, inside job, outside job, doesn't really matter. This stuff happens all the time. And I would say that it probably happens more than what we actually even hear about.
Anyway. Well, with Continuum, Paco, you're right. There was some sort of, I'm looking through an article I just posted up that looks like Continuum had some sort of scanner tool that you could run on a network to, I don't know, utilize Continuum, but it automatically created super user accounts on that network.
Now, that's kind of bad.
I'm not quite sure. This was back in October of 2016, so not that long ago.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, I think you're right. I think, everybody going to have a hole in their armor once in a while.
Absolutely. Just
how you react and how you inform.
Yep, and have a plan in place. All right, so who's next? Who do we leave out? Anyone?
I believe that would be me.
Okay, Paco. Paco, we're down to you, man. So bring us up a little bit.
Yeah, so always take a look at your workflow or processes, basically.
What processes?
No, because I'm not saying write it down, right? Yes, I am saying write it down. But for those that haven't written, I'm not talking about written process today.
Okay, today, I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah, today is actually process of how you're busy. Because some of us keep it in our head and we know how things work. We're one man show, blah, blah, blah. So what ended up happening was, I think I even talked to this about you offline, was where business was really slow in the end of May, beginning of June. And I couldn't really figure out why. So me and you discussed, we thought about AdWords, blah, 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 you know, try and pick some stuff up. Well, a big piece of it, I found out what happened. So there's a couple systems in place for people to get a hold of me. I have my 8x8 phone system, which I own the number. For the company number, it routes through my system with a greeting, and then it transfers over to my receptionist over at the virtual office with Regis. Now, whenever someone, they pick up a phone call and they want to leave a voicemail or they want to talk to me, they will then transfer it to my voicemail in their phone system. Okay. Now, how their phone system works is that once they leave a voicemail, I get an email from the Regis system saying, hey, a voicemail has been left. And it sends a nice MP3 and I can listen via the email and go from there. Well, when you listen to the email or when you listen to the voicemail via email, it doesn't remove or mark it red on the voicemail system. So as you know, with every voicemail system, there's only so much space before it gets full.
Oh, okay.
But there's no notification that that system's been full. So around Wednesday, because everyone knows that I joined the Illinois Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, my business counselor gave me a call. Apparently it went to voicemail, shot me an email saying, hey, your voicemail's full. When you get a chance, give me a call back. Then it was just a light bulb that said, oh, I never checked my voicemail. And I know that from time to time I need to check it. I just hadn't checked it in so long. And it's one of those where I probably have to set a reminder for myself to kind of get that set up or come up with a different process to better handle that type of thing. So I went into the voicemails. There was 100 voicemails, deleted all of the voicemails. And then sure enough, like the day after, business was as usual with calls and voicemails.
Okay.
Being called in. So
that's a good catch, man. I like your idea of setting a reminder. That is probably the number one thing that I think a lot of people probably don't do for the things that we think are so simple in our business, but it's not stuff that we do all the time. Whether you do it monthly, weekly, whatever it is.
Right. Yeah. So that's basically how I had that set up with there. So I need to make some changes too, because I need to make more of the whole process more seamless. Because when you call, you hear my voice as the intro. When it's a voicemail, it's an automated voicemail on their system. When we're closed, it's the old person I had recorded my greetings from Fiverr. So it's like I need to unify that whole thing just with my voice and everything, so that way they know it's the same place and don't get any type of this doesn't sound right in their opinion.
Okay, very cool. All right, great tips. Okay, so I have a couple of tips. Let's see, the first one is running hard drive diagnostics. There are times, and I just got a unit in a few days ago that basically somebody said it wasn't running right, and it was kind of wonky. I'm nothing really specific other than it makes me think usually when there's something wrong like that, it's still operating. The operating system boots and everything, but you have a problem with what's going on after it boots. A lot of times that will point me to the hard drive. The problem is if you use a simple tool that just maybe checks smart on the hard drive, then a lot of times that might pass. And in this particular case, I just on a whim, because I wanted to make sure when somebody says, hey, something's not right, I will actually do a long hard drive test versus a short hard drive test or a simple test like crystal disk or anything like that. because a lot of times those will pass and you still have these issues. So I used a PC Doctor, which I bought earlier this year, and plugged it in, ran it, and the diagnostics actually passed on just the normal system diagnostics. But knowing what I know and having done this for as long as I have, I've turned around and I basically went in and I said, you know what, let's run an extended test on the hard drive. And what I found out, and I'm not sure exactly what this points to because I didn't get a whole lot of chance to delve into it, but everything was passing except it got to this one section where it said smart drive extended something or other, extended test or something. I think it was smart drive extended test. That failed. Now, the regular smart, which is just information coming off the firmware on the hard drive itself, said, yeah, no problem. But sometimes I think we need to delve in a little bit more. And Paco and I were actually talking about it. And he's like, yeah, I've ran into issues where it will pass on all these different tools that I throw at it. And I replace the hard drive and boom, everything goes away. Everything works perfectly fine. And a lot of times I think that before you go to the point where you're reinstalling an operating system or even fixing it, this will save you a lot of time and effort. If in all you really have to do is start the test and let it run, even if it takes a couple hours on a modern hard drive, that's better than you fiddling around with it for a few hours trying to figure out the problem when it ends up actually being the hard drive. So again, another lesson learned as far as go with your gut. And I've talked about this before, and that's what I did. And then I called the customer and said, you know, this computer's kind of old. I don't know if it's going to be worth it for you to fix it and actually replace the hard drive and reinstall the operating system. I would probably spend a few more $100 than what I'm going to charge you and just get a new computer. But I'm waiting to hear back, so we'll see. Second thing is talking about a reading program. The third book that I have started reading since I first came on and talked about this is The Magic of Thinking Big by David Schwartz. And a lot of people will look at this book and they go, that's a bunch of hooey. Yeah, I said hooey. And they'll think, you know, I'm not just going to sit here and think about, you know, how I can be better or, you know, think about positive things or whatever. So the whole premise of this book, I'm going to break it down into one quote. And then you guys go out and get it on Amazon. You can get it on Audible, however you want to do it, Kindle, whatever. It's a great book. It's not the first time I've read it, but it's amazing the things that you pick up, even though I've read it several times, that I needed the reminders. Because here's the problem, before I give you this other quote. The problem is, a lot of times as we get older, we kind of become the old guy sitting on the porch or old girl sitting on the porch drinking our iced tea or coffee, and a kid comes, you know, running across the lawn, get off my lawn. And I even noticed that in myself as I've gotten older, everything's negative. It's kind of, you know, the world's not going my way. My business isn't running right. My work, whatever. And so a lot of times we'll just sit there and we think about the negative and we think about, instead of trying to figure out a way out of it, out of the problem by being positive, by thinking about what we want. And even when it comes to thinking about your business, think about what you want in your business. Maybe you want a retail store at some point. Maybe you want, to make a certain amount of money in your business. All these different things are possible because here's the thing. Once you think of them, your mind is so, this is the greatest computer we have right up here. Your mind will come up with a way that you can actually achieve that, believe it or not. It's the way we were created. Anyways, so with that, the quote that I'm going to give you, and before, this is from Henry Ford, and before everybody says, well, I don't, you know, they say Henry Ford didn't actually say it. It's still a quote. I'm quoting it right now. I'm just saying this is where I heard it from. So here's a quote. Whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. And that is, if you really think about it, if you think you can do something, you're right. If you think you can't do something, you're right. Because really what it comes down to is it's all up to you. There is a way to do everything. No matter what you have to, you can, you know, you can work and to do it right. but there's a way to fix whatever you got to do. You know, there's a way to move forward. And here's the thing. For people that are out there and thinking that they don't have to, they're satisfied, they're happy with their business, everything's going fine. Here's the reality. If you are at a plateau and you are not moving forward or not thinking forward to move yourself forward in life, a lot of people think that they're maintaining. That's the biggest lie in the world. You're not maintaining. You're slowly going backwards. You just don't realize it because it's at such a slow pace until all of a sudden you go, oh, what happened to my business? Hey, what happened to my life? What? Get off my lawn, whatever. So I just want to encourage people that this is a book that's going to make you think, and that's what it's supposed to do. Take the information, put it in, and do something with it. So that's my advice there. All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll get into our topic, which is going to be, as some people have said, a very interesting topic. All right, our show today is brought to you by Ninja, the remote monitoring and management solution to help you become more efficient, more productive, and more profitable. With Ninja, you can have a faster fixed response time and offer preventative maintenance to your customers. Yeah, prevent it before it happens. Ninja understands what you need to run your business, which is why their RMM solution is integrated with tools you use every day. Ninja provides competitive pricing, patch management, antivirus, email, SMS alerting. You can be up and running quickly with minimum training time. Nobody wants to spend weeks and in huge volumes of books to learn something on how to use it. You want to have that puppy up and going and making you some money. You have TeamViewer integration for that remote support. It's one solution for managed and non-managed clients. Network visibility inside the RMM. Know what's going on inside that network. Easy to read dashboards, which I thoroughly enjoy because I'm a simple guy. A powerful device search where you can create custom queries and export the list to show your customers. They also have an executive style report showing important system metrics such as health score, software added or removed, hardware changes, and TeamViewer connections. Like I said before, there's a lot of times you can go into Ninja and actually do a lot of stuff to that computer without ever actually remotely logging into that computer. You can do it remotely without remoting in. That's kind of cool. Ninja is offering Podnuts a free 30-day trial when you decide to buy a 10% discount. Take advantage of this offer. Go to info.ninjamsp.com/podnuts. All right, our major topic for today is, what is your personality around your customers? In other words, how do you present yourself? And maybe not every one of us is maybe outgoing, and that's okay. But you can still present yourself in a way that the customer is going to be able to interact with you back and forth. So I want to get some ideas of what you guys do as far as your personality, some of the things you've learned that work for you, and maybe some of the things that you've learned that, yeah, I'm not going to do that. Like, you know, maybe being snarky is not the best personality to be around your customers, even if you know them real well. I'm just saying. So, who wants to start off? John, why don't you go ahead and start off and tell about personality in your business?
Well, I'm going to start off with that ever-ending comment of it depends, but let's start at the basics. I think you should always treat your customers. I had to get that in since Chris is here.
Hey, man, no, we always have to do it depends. Come on.
I will send you a nickel, Chris. Thank you very much. Basically, I feel you should always treat your customers and clients like it's the first time you've met them. Meaning, even if you've had a long-term relationship, you should always be prepared, always do your due diligence, make sure you have a good first impression. Looking and acting professional. That does not mean you need a suit and tie. It simply means you need clean clothes and don't smell like smoke and have fresh breath and clean out the junk out of the corner of your eyes and show up like you're ready to do some business. Manage client expectations. Keep a client agenda. And always be professional. Trusting yourself and using your judgment. Yes, it's probably Not a good place to hit on people and try to get a date. It's probably not a good place to be snarky. And even if you have that kind of relationship with your customer, I would suggest they're customers, not friends. So perhaps you want to tread a little bit lightly. With that said, though, I do suggest you do genuinely try to interact with your clients. I mean, I do have a lot of clients where I go to their Christmas party, or I do get invited to other parties. But, you know, also be careful of how much you embed yourself into your client. You know, respect them, respect their privacy, because you're going to expect the same from them on a Sunday afternoon as well. So don't come on too strong, and perhaps maybe always listen a little bit to actually what they're saying. Both personally and professionally. A lot of the times, if you get a really strong relationship with the customer, you might actually become a shoulder that they might put other business problems on you versus the technical stuff. So you are going to want to observe what's going on in that office and react to that in a professional manner as well. And then also decide whether how involved you want to get with that client is as well. So really, if I had to boil it all down, I'll go back to the beginning. Always treat your customers like it's the first time you've met them. If you really trust and really care about your customers, you have to treat them with that level. I'll say that word love, and as they're precious, because you know my customer's business is as important to me as my own, because if they don't exist and they don't prosper, neither do I.
That's good. Good sound advice there. All right, Chris, you want to go next?
Yeah, I may as well. So here it comes. You ready?
It depends.
It depends. Look, I'm one of those atypical techs, right? Like I'm outgoing. I do well in social settings for the most part until I put my foot in my mouth. I don't really have the same issues that some other techs do that are maybe an introvert or just don't like dealing with people, because I've met techs that just don't want to deal with people. And at the end of the day, the personality that I wind up giving the customer depends on what type of customer it is. And it's not that, you know, it's not that I do it on purpose. It's just the role that one falls into sometimes. You know, I have a lot of senior couples as residential clients. So I wind up being sort of like that, you know, son-in-law that they never really see. And then I wind up with this business that's been in business for 25 years. The guy's getting ready to retire, and out of nowhere, he's decided that he's the mentor, you know, and you kind of pay lip service to that. So yeah, every relationship that I have with every client is crafted to that client, either intentionally or unintentionally. And at the end of the day, it's something that doesn't become too personal. It's not something that you really get into each other's personal lives. But you wind up having this almost this dance, this interaction that you wind up with each other, where as long as that dynamic continues, the business relationship continues to grow, and the less and less they think about calling somebody else.
That's good. Yeah. Chris is normally an extrovert, except for today where he doesn't have a camera for some reason. But, you know, other than that, he's usually outgoing. Yeah.
Let's run that. I heard one of his clients in the background.
Yeah. All right. Paco, what's your 2 cents?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of what everyone says here, it's I actually separate out my personality as far as personal and business wise. So depending on the relationship I have with the business, it's really a good quote or a good thing that one of my guys told me on my team, Brando, who's been on Partners Daily, is that even though you may have a good relationship with the customer and you feel that they're cool or they're like, oh, you know, they're laid back, et cetera, it's not the fact that they're cool and laid back. They just have a lot of patience. And the moment that patience runs out, it's going to be a whole different thing. So it's something to make sure to differentiate when you're in business versus personally, like where, you know, you get a good feel from a person. You talk about all kinds of stuff outside of business. But when it comes to business, we think that same scenario applies, but it's not. It's just more, there's more patience in the process. There's more patience in the delivery of things going on. Now, as far as the personality, there are going to be certain things that I will talk about. I'll try and maintain a professional composure up front at first. But depending on the environment, I adapt to how the environment is. If it's a little bit more lax, I'll go along being lax as well. And the reason why is because you want to make sure you maintain the respect and you maintain the appreciation and view from the customer. Because if they kind of see that you're kind of uptight and professional and not really seeing their view on a lot of things, again, it is a slippery slope, but that's where it's up to you to maintain that balance, is are they going to want to continue to deal with you? You're not going to act the same with one client that you do with another client. So that's a couple of things that you want to make sure that you determine as you're kind of going into this. And especially for those that are new, if you don't know how to act, and let's say you are an introvert and you just have a rough time talking to people, it's something you grow into. It's not something you're going to learn right away. Some people kind of go with the flow a lot better than others. So it's just one of those where you got to feel your groove, feel kind of where you're more comfortable with and kind of go from there. And it does take time for those that are starting out to kind of get to the point where a lot of us here on the panel have been. I think all of us have done this way more than 10 years in our career. So I think it's a big point to say that we've kind of seen some of the in and outs and how to react to our customers. And for those that are trying to just figure it out, you just really can't listen to what we say because, yeah, we have good guide points, but you got to do it on your own. You got to figure it out. You got to learn your lessons and kind of go from there. That's my opinion. And then I think a bigger piece that you want to make sure is understanding on the personality of you versus the personality of the business. So how do you want the business to be perceived? It's going to be a direct reflection of you if you're going to make it where you are the business. Or if you're going to make the business as its own entity, how the business portrays itself via online, via social media, via its campaigns for donations and nonprofit helpings and things like that versus yourself. Maybe you are a little bit more aggressive in expansion or in your own personal goals. You know, you may want to look at trying to separate the two of those as well. So these are all things to take into consideration as you try to figure out personality for yourself as an owner and personality as a business as a whole.
Hey, can I jump on your bandwagon for a second, Paco? You made a great point there. And I think you were talking a little bit about the level of comfort. And, you know, if I can kind of jump in with how long I've done this, probably more so over the last 5 years versus the last 25 years I've been doing this, you kind of have to remind yourself that if you feel yourself getting a little bit comfortable with a client, I think that's when you need to maybe step it up a little bit. You know, if you feel like, oh gosh, I got a great relationship with them, maybe this can wait till tomorrow. You know, maybe you better get your butt out there tonight, get done what needs to get done instead of just being comfortable. Because I think that client will also sense that you're getting comfortable with them to a point where that's not a good thing.
That's a real good point. A lot of times, Paco mentioned something too, where he's talking about repetition. And I really like that because when you think about repetition and just doing something over and over again, I'm going to put this out there as a couple different things. But number one, Paco's exactly right. You have to do it. But if you drive, a lot of us drive cars. If you drive a car, a lot of times, if you think about it, there's many times where you're driving your car and you're like going, how did I just get home? I have no idea. And I'm not talking about when you've been drinking either, because that's just wrong. But when you're normally driving, and you're just driving down the road and all of a sudden the next thing you know, you're pulling up in your driveway and you're like, how did I get here? It's because you've done it so often that it just becomes normal. It just becomes part of the routine. You don't even have to think about it. It's the same thing with relationships and talking to your customers and giving them a warm and fuzzy personality, I'll say, instead of a, you know, I'm better than you and I know about this technology and you don't, so you should just listen to me, stupid. You don't want to do that. You want to, the other thing too, there's some things out there where you should maintain eye contact and not stare at them with bug eyes or anything like that, but just as far as look them in the eye. And here's another great tip. we have two ears and one mouth. So what that tells us is we should listen twice as much as we actually talk. Now, because this is my show, I don't follow that rule here. But when it comes to the customer, I want to hear what they're saying. And I can't think about what I'm moving on to next. I really need to. They're telling me about a problem or an issue that needs to be solved. Not only do I have to hear what they're saying, but then I've got to process that and I've got to be able to give them an answer back. And it's perfectly okay for you not to know everything on the spot and go, that's a great question. I'm going to have to get back to you on that. And then do that. Take the time, put something together, get back to them via email, phone call, whatever it is. But just how you are as far as interacting with your customer, sometimes there is the where you have a conversation maybe that's about business in general, maybe about what they're doing in their business or about what you're doing in your business. And, you know, and that's okay because businesses a lot of times will share that information. Now, if you're doing residential, man, people will talk about anything. Talk about their kids going to school, their grandkids, what, you know, this going on, that going on. And a lot of times they just want somebody to listen to them. And that's where you got to do a little multitasking. You listen to them, but you continue to do your work. Now, quite honestly, that's why I don't do a whole lot of on-site work. Number one, I don't have the time. Number two, I don't want to be stuck sitting there listening to, you know, these stories because sometimes it's hard to concentrate. So anyways, but you've got to be able to multitask, so to speak.
And a big piece to that too.
Go ahead.
Sorry, John. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just going to kind of interrupt Jeff just to say, do you know who said we have two ears and one mouth?
I have no idea. Me?
I don't know how to say his name, but it's some Greek guy, but I got to say that he has another quote that is, first say to yourself what you would be, and then do what you have to do.
So nice. I like that.
Right along with your first rant there.
Yep.
Or, I mean, motivational speech.
Motivational speech.
Your motivational calling for everyone. But I think a big piece of it is that, exactly like you said, and I think to drive it really home, is that we need to understand that we need to listen to understand, not listen to respond. And I think that's a big piece where I'm even teaching that to my daughter right now because, you know, she says she understands. She says she listens. She's 70 years old. She's going to do what she's going to want. But, you know, she has to understand that, you know, you have to listen to understand what the person is saying versus to listen and then right away want to say what you have to say. And I think that's a big piece for everyone here that we all do it. And I used to do it a lot before where I would listen to just hear what they have to say, wait till they finished, and then say what I had to say versus not even listening to what they just said. And it kind of probably would have answered some of the pieces that I'm about to say. And that's how a lot of arguments tend to come up as well, just in personal life as well. And maybe even business accommodations that you're trying to argue a point on why this business should do something a particular way. So going back to, like you said, listen to understand, not listen to respond.
I like that.
I'm slightly older than seven, and I think I could take that advice a lot still, too.
It's something, but Paco said this earlier, I think, too. It's something that you learn over time, and you just have to keep doing it, and it becomes more natural. A lot of people will take this show, for example. A lot of people will look at this show and are, you know, you seem so polished or whatever, which I laugh at, but whatever.
In, I have a producer.
Yeah, exactly. I got producers. I got people. All right. Have my people call your people. But I will tell you, and I've said this time and time again, at literally almost 300 some odd episodes, the first 100 to 150 episodes, I would get on here right before I would press record. My heart would be going a million miles an hour. I kid you not. Now, nobody ever saw it. But I could tell you my heart was pounding out of my chest because I didn't know what I was going to talk about, or maybe I didn't know if I was going to come across as like I knew what I was talking about or whatever, or maybe people would make fun of me. I don't know. But the point is, you get used to it over time, and just by doing it over and over and over again, it becomes second nature. It really does. Now I get on here and I just go, I push a couple buttons and these guys come up with all the information. And I just talk and sound like I know what I'm talking about, even if I don't. And it works out perfect.
It helps that you don't care that we make fun of you anymore, too.
That's right.
It also helps if you have some sort of a an idea on what you're going to say or how you're going to say it. You know, if you've got a few broad case scenarios where it's like, okay, look, in this type of a situation, this is the direction that I should go in. If you've got that in mind, then when you run into that situation, you're not going to be nearly as shocked by it. And it's still going to be a bit of a struggle the first couple of times, but it gets a lot easier, a lot faster.
That's a good point. Yeah, you're right. Exactly. So if you think about what types of things, because here's one thing. Going on what Chris had said, there's a lot of times where I've gone into a situation, and I'll give you an example. Like back in the beginning, somebody would talk about a service that maybe did them wrong, and it might have been another computer company, and or I would see something that the prior computer company had done, and I will look at it and go, I can't believe somebody would do this, and that in and of itself does not help portray who you really are. It doesn't really matter what somebody else has done. What matters is what you're going to do to help them from this point forward. And if you have a better solution and a better way to do it, you just present that in a way, but you're not necessarily going to present it in a way by throwing somebody that you don't even know most of the time under the bus and trying to prop yourself up and make yourself look better, because it really doesn't make you look better. It makes you look like a jerk. And people can sense that.
The other piece to that, too, is that as everyone who those are starting and they're trying to figure this all out, you're not going to be everyone's cup of tea. So, and you'll know that for a fact when you start talking. So don't let those times discourage you. That's why you do the repetition, because you'll find your own flow. You'll find you'll get the feeling of who you can talk to and who you don't. And then that's how what sets you up to figure out who's your avatar, who's your ideal client, because then you'll be really able to, once you find that piece, makes things even more easier on how to get your rhythm going and cadence to a point where you want to be at.
Great point, Paco. I would add two other things. One, we were saying the two ears, one mouth thing. I would suggest even now, don't be so anxious to rush to answer, even if you already know the answer. I mean, a lot of times that time of thoughtfulness or whatever allows the client to think that you're considering what is happening. You know, maybe there's a little bit more mindfulness in that. And then to add what you said, Paco, about, you know, working with people you like. Obviously, if you're just starting in this business, you probably want to cut your teeth on everything you can get your hands on. But, you know, once you can build up a clientele and you can kind of be choosy on what you want to do, you know, obviously work with people you like. I mean, that's going to make your job a lot more enjoyable in the long run.
Yeah, why, and I don't understand this. I've heard in the past, I hear it a little less nowadays, I've heard in the past a lot of people will complain about customers, which we all do to a certain extent, but the reality is I only want to deal with customers that want to deal with me. And what I mean by that is we do have some sort of relationship where it's a win-win and it's a healthy relationship. I would never want to do something like wake up in the morning and know I have an appointment with a customer that for whatever reason, I can't stand, they can't stand me. And because I would dread that day or maybe even the week prior coming up to that day. Why would I want to put myself through that? So exactly like John said, hey, in the beginning, you're going to take whatever comes your way and that's fine, but you're going to learn who your audience is or who your customer is, who your client is. And once you do that, then you can kind of weed out. And usually you can do that by, I hate to say this, but raising your prices.
Keep in mind, too, that there's a huge difference between, oh, man, I hate going on site to this customer's place. You know, they're always so obnoxious and the place stinks and all that versus, you know, Ethel's called in like every other month of that Zeus virus pop up. When is she ever going to learn not to call that number? You know, there's a giant difference between those two. So it's one thing to need to vent a little bit about a client that keeps making the same mistake versus a client that you simply cannot stand working with. And I personally think that it doesn't matter how early you are in your company. If you've got that client where you dread working with them, cut them loose. It's not worth keeping them for you to lose all of that energy and all of that time into putting into something that's just going to make you stressed and not enjoy your job.
That is a great point, Chris. Thank you for bringing that home. Boom, hit it out of the ballpark. Okay.
Hey, you can only spike if you got a good setter, pal.
Also known as whoop. There it is.
Oh, there we go.
Snap.
And we just went down a rabbit trail. All right. So is there any other things that anybody can think of that we need to do as far as in our business, in as far as dealing with the customer or being a, I'll tell you the other thing too, now that I'm thinking about this. And see, here's why I kind of throw things out, because it makes me think. So you're, we talk about personality, but we can talk a little bit about attitude. And here's the thing. Okay, you've got your cup of Starbucks or whatever you drink in the morning, and you're driving to a client and your eyes are half closed and you're trying to get this coffee down and you're tired. You know, sometimes, again, this is going to go back into whatever, self-talk. Now, one of the things you'll realize in this book, The Magic of Thinking Big, going back to that, is because there's a lot of big business owners that had talked to this particular author. And there were people that had turned whatever they do, whether it be sales or whatever they did in their own business, they turned it around by basically going, they did a maybe a commercial, a self-imposed commercial for them before they went to either make cold calls or whatever it was. And here's the thing, whether you understand psychology or not, which I don't, but it does something in your mind. Okay, when you think these things, you think positively, you kind of pump yourself up, you feel better going into a situation, you feel more confident, instead of just going in, you just trying to make it through the day. I sucked my coffee down, I'm there. So going with a positive attitude. Yes, the customers are going to do things like Chris had said earlier that are kind of irritating, but Chris, that doesn't bother me as much because they're paying the bill anyway, so hey, make as many mistakes as you want. I'm good with that. I get paid either way. But definitely go in with a, you know, pump yourself up. Yeah, never mind. I was going to sing a song, but I'm not going to. So,
no.
What, whistle while you work?
No. Yeah, we don't have the rights to that song anyway, Jeff.
Yes, that's true. We don't want to get flagged. So anyways, but I would take a positive attitude and pump yourself up before you go in to deal with a situation. Even if you don't know what's going to happen, it's going to make you feel better. It, you know, it releases different chemicals and things in your body and your brain, and it will make your day that much better versus I'm just going to try to get through this day. So here's the thing. Fake it until you make it. And that's a true statement right there.
From Jeff Hellish.
I didn't make it up, though. I can't remember where that one came from. But yeah, there's a lot of things you can fool yourself into being positive, I guess, really, is the bottom line.
Right. And, I mean, like you said, just don't take your personal life into business as you walk into a customer's door. I mean, like you just said, it's to a point where if you got all kinds of stuff going on, you're sucking down that coffee, you're in the way to get to where you got to go, you're about to walk in through the door, you got to turn on. And that's essentially how I mentioned where there's a separation of between personalities of personal life and business life. You know, you got to go into as your persona. You got to go in there. You got to act it. It's your genuine self in business. They don't need to know about any of that mess. They don't need to know. They don't need to feel any of that vibrations of bad vibes that you're bringing in because you just had a bad morning or you had a bad night. Just you didn't get any sleep or you just wish you didn't have to do this job. My brother tends to say this a lot, and I'm trying to say this in the most rated G form of how he says it. But essentially, whenever it's like customer service and he goes to a fast food place or a delivery person and they have a real attitude when they're giving them something, he'll right away say, "You probably should have stayed home today."
Wow.
Because, yeah, he's very upfront. I mean, if you had that type of attitude today, you probably should have stayed home. And that's the G version of what he says. And this is my older brother. Because, you know, and he's right. I mean, if you're in a customer service position, you know that business's reliability, whether you're working for a business or you're handling your own business, you're representing a brand, whether it's your brand or your business's brand, if you separate the two. And it's one of those where if you're not 100%, don't show up at all, you know, because if you're going to never go half measure, you always want to go full. And that's at a point where, you know, if that's the case, like my brother says, might as well have just stayed home.
Locked and loaded. That's exactly right, Paco. And I'd also encourage everybody to reverse that. When you walk into a customer site, you don't know what your customer has been dealing with either. So be respectful of that and their staff, meaning you don't know if they're tired, sick, have a family problem, cancer, all these hidden items that might be behind the scenes. So if they're a little bit snippy and all that, maybe give them the benefit of the doubt. I mean, if it's a regular occurrence, maybe you want to nip that in the butt, but just keep in mind that moving forward, you never know what other people are dealing with. So you might want to give them a little kindness in return, and that might just come back your way tenfold.
Yeah, there's an old, I remember learning this years ago, when you're talking to somebody on the phone, and this could go with...
Do we have to pay for every quote you're saying?
No. But so when you're talking to somebody on a phone, customer service or whatever, right? All of a sudden, we know how things escalate. If you start getting loud, usually the customer service reps gets loud, it goes back and forth. Or if you have a customer who's talking to you and they're upset about something, you blew up their computer, they lost all their files, they're just besides themselves, they don't like you. Instead of escalating your voice to that level where you talk back to them at that level, if you bring it down, what you will notice is they'll actually bring theirs down. And then you can get past that point and actually have a decent conversation. So a lot of times, like John said, it's just, yeah, give a little bit of kindness and don't take things personally. There is a certain point of a thick skin that you need to have, and you can't look at everything as they're pointing a finger at you. Like John said, whatever they're going through might just be that they're just having a bad day, and it's really not about you. It's all them. It's not about you. So with that being said, I think you just need to kind of, you know, take a step back and just understand those situations and learn to deal with it. And don't worry about it. Don't let it affect you. Now, that's not saying if there's somebody who's very abusive and trying to take control and trying to make you do what they want you to do versus what you know needs to be done, then those are the type of customers where all of a sudden that keeps happening over and over again. Those are the ones you might need to cut the ties with and go, you know what? We're not a good fit because you and I don't work well together. And that's okay. They'll find somebody else that they can either abuse, or maybe they'll find somebody else that has a personality that they can work with.
Now, keep in mind, though, there still is the, you know, breaking case of crazy box, right? And you need to have that. You need to have a plan for that. Because, you know, if resetting the cable modem made the microwave stop working, you get that call from somebody who is asking you to do a camera removal from their cable box because the newsman's talking to them, true calls, by the way, you know, you really do need to know how to handle that so that, A, you don't wind up on that phone call for an hour and a half trying to explain to somebody why the camera person really wasn't talking to them. But B, you never know, no matter how crazy they are, like somebody really, really doesn't understand technology and honestly thinks that rebooting the cable modem made the microwave stop working. If they turn around and tell everybody that this technician that was working on their computer broke their microwave, they might not give any context to that. And now suddenly you've got somebody running around and people are imagining some computer technician like blowing every fuse in the house, or a computer technician that, you know, knocked over the microwave and just kept walking. Like you don't know. So you need to at least have an outline, a blueprint of what your plan is going to be to deal with crazy.
That's a good point, Chris. Very good point. And the one thing you probably don't want to do in having this conversation where they think you've done something wrong, you don't want to sit there and go, you know, you're sounding a little cray cray right now. Okay. So we just need to dial it back a little bit. Don't do that because they might not take that well.
I'm just going to make a note of your ticket, ma'am. I need to help you find your marbles. All right.
There now. You go. And this is perfect for your ticketing system where you can have these documented notations that basically don't ever go to the customer. Now, just don't ever make a mistake and put it in the wrong one that actually gets emailed to the customer, because that would be bad. So you wouldn't want to put in the box that's just a notation for the technicians and the business owners, this person's a little cray cray. You want to make sure that you don't put it in the email one where they would get it and that would be
the correct acronym for that is PITA.
Thank you.
PITA. What? I'm sorry. What does that stand for?
That's PITA. Not G rated.
Oh, never mind. All right. Anything else on this subject about personality? I think we've covered a lot. Any lasting thoughts? All right. Oh, I know what that is now. All right. So anyways, let's take another quick break and then we'll get into the second portion of the show, answering some emails and taking some phone calls. All right. So guys, DC On Convention 2017 in Washington, DC, September 16th and 17th. IT conference for techs and business owners reimagined. Not like your normal conferences. This is the new way of doing things, the better way, the more intimate way. All right, learn from fellow techs and business owners. Get business strategies that work in the real world. Not just what worked maybe 10 years ago, but what's working now today. Discover new tech. Everybody likes new tech. If you're an owner, operator in managed services, IT consulting, or a break fix, this is the place for you. Sorry, I had something in my throat. Get your hotel and tickets now. Only 100 tickets available. Go to onconvention.io. They have all the information there. They've got a new schedule up with all the different things. They've got a guest speaker that's coming in, and Malwarebytes is going to be there. Obviously, Tech Site Builder, Instant House Call. They're going to be there. They're going to be able to answer your questions. They're going to be able to talk. But the number one thing I think that you're going to get out of this unconvention, being the unconventional way of doing things, is the time with fellow business owners, fellow technicians that actually do this stuff day in and day out. And a lot of times they do it in a way that, it's kind of lonely out there. So it's nice to be able to get together, shake some hands, rub some shoulders, and, you know, learn from each other. Because we can always learn from other people, no matter how new or how long you've been in a business. So anyways, go check that out, unconvention.io. Get your tickets now. Like I said, they're keeping this a small, intimate gathering. So 100 people, no more. So make sure you get your tickets and all your stuff today. All right, let's answer some emails and take some calls. Phone lines are open. The call-in number is 1-888-697-0162. Let's go to our first email. Says, hello, Jeff. You said that most people give you a hard time about using a spreadsheet for your record keeper. Just to let you know, you are not the only one that does that. I use a spreadsheet for my stuff and repair shopper. Robert's Computer Service, Robert Eiler. Thank you, Robert. I appreciate that. Now, here's the problem. So Chris is like, you know, he doesn't know what to do. If you could see the expression on his face right now, which you can't because his camera's not operating, he would probably... No, you can't do it. But guess what? There's many ways to skin a cat.
Nah, you guys have to stop encouraging Jeff.
Just because you said you, just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do something.
That's right. I can do a virus removal with a sledgehammer.
I could rob a bank, but you know that's not really what we want.
Oh, could you now?
Ooh, odd nuts heist. Oh wait, we should talk about this off air.
Now, it's not, you know what, it's a good point, and depending on where you're at in your business, if it's something you can maintain, depending on the size of business you have, you can absolutely do that. Or even if you have somebody else that's putting in the numbers and things for you, you can absolutely do that. You don't need to necessarily have specialized software to be able to do your, all your information for taxes and whatnot. There's different use case scenarios for it, but hey, spreadsheets have been used since the beginning of time, really, way before even the abacuses and all that. I'm just kidding.
I'm going to find a way.
Is it abacuses or abaci?
Oh, I guess, yeah, you're right. It would be plural, right?
Abador.
Anyways, it's good to know that other people are doing it. So... All right, show of hands on this show, or actually response. So who here on this panel uses a spreadsheet to document all their business? I'm not seeing any hand. Me? Okay, I'm the only one. All right. There's other people out there.
I know you can't see me, but my hand is below my desk at this point.
All righty then. And yes, so I guess I am the only one at this point.
I'm going to give you a way out of this, Jeff. There was only one way to do things. We wouldn't have this show.
That's true. That is true. So you know, and we've talked about it before, right? Use what works for you in your business. Just, you know, just because I say something doesn't mean it's right. All right. Here is another email. This says, Jeff, and this is about another show that I was doing. Any new My Hard Drive Dies episodes coming up? It's been over a year since the last one. I love that show and love to hear some more My Hard Drive Died. Thanks and keep up the awesome work. And that's from Jason Miller. Thank you, Jason. And we actually, what I encourage people to do is people that want to hear another My Hard Drive Died with the great Scott Moulton, I would encourage you to send an email to scottmoulton@myharddrivedied.com. Or I'm sorry, just scott@myharddrivedied.com. And just encourage them and let them know that you'd like to hear another episode. We have in the past tried to get our schedules together, so we were having a little hard time doing that. And I know for this next week he's on vacation. So hopefully when he gets back, I will get a hold of him. I've sent him an email to let him know when I'm available, and we'll see if we can work something out.
Hey, Jeff, can I add 2 cents to that as well? When you send that email to Scott, send him what you want him to talk about, too.
Yes. Yeah, because content is probably 90% of what any show is about. And we can talk about things, but just whatever off the top of our head, but that doesn't always necessarily mean that's what people want to hear about, you know. The latest hard drive technology, what's going on in the industry, who's buying who, all that kind of stuff. What type of, you know, forensic tools are becoming available to normal users like ourselves. You know, there's always kind of cool things that are out there that we don't always look into because maybe we're not dealing with that, but maybe there comes a time where you have to deal with things like forensics and whatnot. So. All right. And that looks like the last email. So I'm going to take this portion of the show and encourage everyone to send an email with either a response or a question or just, hey, you're doing great or whatever. And yeah, we ran through. I know it's summertime, and a lot of times this is the time of year where people dial back a little bit and they're, you know, vacations or whatnot. Coming up into July, and this is usually when people go on vacation and get away. So you kind of slows down a little bit, but I think there's plenty of you out there, and you're always encouraged to, you can leave voicemails, you can call into the show live, and we can answer your question right on the air. You can be on the radio too, just like we are.
Yeah, I got a shout out, Jeff. Thomas, I won't say his last name, I'll just say Thomas A., found us and gave me a shout out about Ecliptic's UTM question. So just wanted to thank him for emailing. And I turned him on to the show and told him about the unconvention. So hopefully we'll get another listener there.
There is a question. K Rosa 72 asked, unconvention limited to 100 ticks. 100 tickets. Are you expecting it to sell out? Yes, I think it's going to be a sellout. So, a lot of people I think will wait till the last minute because for whatever reason, that is just our human nature to wait till the last minute. Don't know why it's been that way again since the beginning of time. We procrastinate. We are a group of procrastinators. So I would say that getting your tickets and your hotel room and, you know, airfare or driving or whatever you're going to do, now's the time to do that. Get all that stuff put together. So that way it's something that's, hey, this is something I'm going to do a couple months from now, and it's my time away, and it's my time to regroup. And you can't look at it as, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do with my business during that time or whatever. Take the time to invest in yourself. And again, most people come away from these events looking at it from a standpoint of, wow, I am so glad I went to this. I'm so glad I was able to unwind with some fellow techs, business owners, and I'm so glad I learned little tidbits of information. Nothing major do we ever learn, or really nothing major we can ever implement, but it's the little pieces of information that we get that we can take that information and come back and actually use it in our business and do some minor tweaks. You know, again, talking about the book I was talking about a couple weeks ago, Compound Effect. It's taking a little thing, changing it, and over time that you get that compound interest off of whatever you changed. And so even though you don't see something in the beginning, it's better than doing nothing at all. So these are great events to basically get that recharge. And again, I like the 100, I like the 100 size because I think you can get with a lot of people at only 100 versus some of the conventions we've been to where there's literally, you know, a few thousand people.
I think your compound effect's a good point. I think we had somewhere in the neighborhood of 40s at the first one, which I don't think we marketed very well. We certainly didn't have the presence or the sponsors on the homepage and all that. So I think it's going to be an easy way to double. I think we'll have an easy double there. And I know a lot of us that went before are going again because the first conference was so good. So and I think it's going to be,
it's in a good place too. You know, it's in a good hub, right? To, you know, to be able to get in and out of. And then if you've ever wanted to see Washington, D.C.
Good excuse.
Good excuse to go. I know some people are bringing, you know, family and whatnot, and they're going to see a little bit of the town while they're there. Hey, make it worthwhile, right?
So I had received an email, which we could probably go over on the show, because it came on June 13th. So I'm pretty sure it wasn't covered on the show since we were out last Sunday. This is from Chris Riviera. Hey Paco, I have heard you talk about using repair. It is about contracts, maintenance plan. I've heard you talk about using Repair Shopper as your invoicing ticketing system. I want to try and utilize it more with the services I'm offering. Do you track your maintenance plans in Repair Shopper itself, or are you using something different? I just sold my first yearly maintenance plan to a residential client and want to keep track of tickets and renewing them using Repair Shopper. Can you give me some direction on how you do this, or, and if you use Repair Shopper for keeping up with your plans? Thanks, Chris Rivera. So, and obviously we can open up to the panel, but for me, I haven't really done the most automated way of doing it in Repair Shopper. So what I do is I actually, how I sell the maintenance plan, which is what I call the virus protection plan, to my residential customers, how I sell that is a yearly subscription per se. And I set up a recurring invoice. So basically I will set it up, put the date where the new invoice will send out the day after today of the new year. And basically I set up Ninja, which is the RMM I have that kind of hooks everything through for my maintenance plan. If any issues come up, it sends a asset alerts or anything like that, to the ticketing system. And I kind of work off of it that way and how I keep it in track. If anybody goes ahead and emails in, I give them a standard email address versus my own email address. So I can create a ticket in Repair Shopper to work off of, and it'll attach depending on where the customer, which customer emailed in. But that's kind of how I, pretty much all I have set up. I know that there is a new function in Repair Shopper that is called subscriptions. And you can kind of set that up where it'll do automatic charging and, you know, the whole shebang. But I haven't ventured into it as much. But for anyone else, how do you manage your yearly or monthly recurring revenue plans?
Chris?
Well, actually, just about everybody that I work with very few exceptions, are either, well, they're monthly, semi-annually, and annually. I have maybe 4 companies under any type of a contract, and everybody else just renews when the bill comes out. If they don't pay the bill, then they don't renew. So I haven't really had to do much in the form of tracking other than exactly what you're doing, scheduling the invoices.
Now, Chris, now you're automatically taking the payment from a credit card, correct?
It depends on the client. Most of the time, yes. Some of the clients have ACH, so I'm debiting directly from their checking account. And I have a few clients who didn't want to be on automatic recurring, which is fine. They're told flat out, you know, when that first notice goes out telling you, hey, here's your late fee and you got 30 days to pay. If you don't pay after that 30 days, I'm canceling it.
John?
QuickBooks.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
QuickBooks. He was imitating Donald Duck.
QuickBooks. QuickBooks.
Is that what you use to eat? Yeah. That's how you send all your billing out, right?
All my recurring payments, scheduled payments, scheduled invoicing. I have it pretty easy. All my customers get billed once per month. So they get 12 invoices a year from me. Done deal.
Do you do any type of automated charge or just they pay when they get the invoice?
I don't accept credit card I have one customer that does ACH. Just I would do that on request. Otherwise, actually two that do that on request. Otherwise, I want a check, please.
Do they send you checks? So they send you a check once you send out the invoice?
Yep.
Okay. So similarly, what I started doing is with my managed services, I'm not going to go into that. I have nothing against managed services. It's the managed service provider thing that I have something against. But anyways, with my managed services, what I end up doing is once I start a person on a plan, I will go into Repair Shopper. I will create a recurring invoice. And what that invoice will do is it actually goes out a month ahead of time before their renewal. And the reason for that is, and I only do once a year. You're not paying me monthly. I'm not chasing people down for, you know, 10, 15, 20, 25 bucks. Not doing it. So you either pay me up ahead of time, 1 year, that's all I do, or nothing. So I'm fine either way. But what I do is, so they're going to get one invoice a year from me, and basically they can send a check. They can pay on that invoice either using a credit card or PayPal. Any one of those three ways they can pay. And that's perfectly fine. So what they'll end up doing is what that 30-day buffer gives me is if they don't renew within that 30 days, I'll send out a couple of reminders. And if there's still nothing back or whatever, or they don't want to, you know, send me a check or whatever, that's fine. At the end of that 1 year time, again, I send it 30 days ahead of time, I will shut their service off. No big deal. So that keeps it simple. I don't want to keep anybody's credit card on file or anything like that. So I don't want to have anybody automatically recurring. I would rather, and I know it's a manual way of doing things, but it also helps me keep a little more control, is, you know, not having to check, you know, credit cards that expiration dates go, you know, go away and all that kind of stuff. I'd rather just, I'm kind of like John. I really predominantly get paid by check still today. Now, I know a lot of people go, check? Oh my gosh, you get checks? And yeah, I do. And that's fine. Because guess what? There's no cost to me to cash a check. It's completely free.
I'll take checks from a business. I won't take checks from residential. I've been burned too many times where to try and chase big amounts. And my average ticket size is 200 to 250 bucks a pop. And I can't afford to take a couple bad ones, maybe one or two in a month, and try and chase them. And then the hours, and then send the collection agency after them to not even get anything. It's, I don't do it. And I tell them straight out.
I think I'd play that game too if I was doing residential, Paco. You know, yeah. Get a swipe, have them pay right on site.
Yep.
And, yeah. Well, and that's all going to, you're right, because that's all going to depend on demographics and basically how far your business extends out. And that can make a huge difference. Now, for me as a local business, the number one joke that I hear from my customers is they go, you know, I might do something for them or whatever. And the joke back and forth is, well, I know where you live. Well, I know where you live. So I've never, from a local area, I've never been burned yet. Not saying that it can't happen, but everybody's paid their bill, no problem. I've never had a bounce check. So each area is going to be a little different. Now, if I was going out farther than a 6x6 square mile radius, I might think a little bit more about that, because the farther away, yeah, it becomes a little less intimate. I'll put it that way.
Jeff, are you saying that it depends?
It depends. I don't know why we keep talking about adult undergarments, but
because there's nothing else to talk about in today's modern society, Jeff.
Oh man, I just don't be offended if you never mind.
Well, a lot of this, you know, a lot of determination, you know, now we're going to talk about getting payments a little bit. A lot of determination is how you want to handle your money, how fast you need it. You know, obviously, Paco brought up a great point of what kind of customer are you dealing with? You know, residential, home user, people you have a relationship, people you're meeting for the first time. And, you know, if you do take credit cards, you know, make sure you investigate how long the turn is on your money. Because just as you swipe the card doesn't mean that money is in your account.
Right.
You know, a lot of times some payment processors will hold that money for a couple of days even.
Yep.
So, you know, investigate all that. Make sure you're making a wise choice on how you need your business to operate. You know, if you're dealing with family, friends, or maybe, you know, one or two, what do they say, separation from Kevin Bacon, you know, a few people that you know, maybe checks are the best way to do it because you put that money into your account and it's available to you almost instantly. So just, you know, make those considerations. Make a wise business choice when you depend on how you're going to get it paid. And obviously, do not let those swipe fees and back charges with a credit card or other forms of payments catch up with you. Consider those as well.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. All right. Let's see. Anything else we can talk about?
No.
I think. Looks like the phone calls are quiet, and I think we're out of emails and topics for today. So I think we're going to go ahead and head on out. All right. Paco, give us one parting thought and let people know where they can find you.
Sure. Nothing is more powerful than the human spirit. We'll go with that for the theme of the show.
Nice.
For those who want to find me, you can find me over at on this show biweekly or whenever I can make an appearance because I tend to have my schedule all over the place now. Being full time takes a lot of effort to make things cleared out and obviously family first. You can also find me weekly on the Computer Business Marketing Show. We try to go live every week Wednesday. The next 2 weeks, we are playing around with how that's going to work. Matt is going to be on National Guard duty. So the inmate has the keys. So I will be heading that show. We're trying to figure out how to make it live. Not sure if that's going to happen the next 2 weeks, but we'll definitely have the show out, released on the show or on the website, computerbusinessmarketing.com, or we'll have it on the podcast audio catchers as well. Or you can reach me on my site, prodigytechs.com.
Awesome. Appreciate you coming out, even though being last minute, it was awesome to have you. All right, Mr. John Dubinsky, give people one parting thought and let them know where they can find you.
Keep in mind that today in 1950, North Korea invaded South Korea, starting the Korean War.
Oh, I did not know that.
Fact there for you.
Nice.
John at mavengroup.net. Everybody have a great week. I do have a question for you, sir, if I may. I would consider next Sunday, the 4th of July weekend. Are we going to participate in a podcast together on that day?
That's Sunday? A good question. And I will say this, that July 1st, it's also my 28th year anniversary.
All right.
And
your wife's going to be on the show, is what you're saying.
Yeah, no. Yeah, that will never happen. she'd be great, but talking about tech is like me talking about Pinterest. I just offended like 3/4 of the audience. Sorry. So anyways, we'll play it by ear at this point. I'm not sure if I'm going to be doing anything, but, it's like every other weekend seems like a holiday, which is a good thing. I need some time to regroup and regather. So, that definitely helps. So we're going to play it by ear. There might not be a show next week. And thank you, John, for bringing that up because I totally forgot.
Yeah.
All right.
Here to help.
Thank you, man. All right, Chris, give us one parting thought and let people know where they can find you.
I don't know if I want to talk to somebody against Pinterest.
I'm not against Pinterest. I just.
For my parting thought, I want to leave this out there because I've been working hard last couple of weeks getting things put into that ticketing system. So just so that you know, actually, Jeff, because why not? you know, if you really want to track some of your stuff, we've added ticket hour packs and number of ticket packs into the billing system.
Ooh, ticket power packs?
Yeah. So, like, you know, you could sell 10 tickets for the price of 9. Ooh. If you do flat rate billing for some reason.
Oh, here we go again.
Right? Okay, but you can now. We've added all that into the billing system. Lasting thought for the day, though, in all seriousness, whatever works for you is what needs to work for you. Don't absolutely take, you know, take advice, but, you know, even my advice is an ironclad. If it doesn't work for you, don't do it.
Amen to that.
If you want to know more about what I do, or if you need extra help in your company, Remote Support Tech Team is there for you, providing white label IT services. Give us a call, 866-568-2813. You can email us at info@rstechteam.com, or you can just go to our website, rstechteam.com, for more information.
All right. And Chris, there was a little contest, and I know we've been kind of hit and miss here for the last couple of weeks, and you've had things going on with holidays and whatnot. What was the contest we're running for the audience?
Sure. So the contest that we're running is the top 5 reasons why you should be using a ticketing system.
I'm sorry.
Why are you laughing?
No reason. I'm just thinking... I'm going to write some reasons down now.
You're going to do it? You should do it.
I'm going to do, even though I can't be included in the contest, I'm still going to put my 5 cents in. That's
true. I'm out. I give my reasons last show.
That's true. Okay. All right.
I probably won't give my reasons.
Oh.
So there's a couple things we're going to do with that. So number one, we're probably going to read those on the show. So if you send those, where do they send them, Chris?
Should we have them send them to you? We should have them send them to you.
Oh, we can have them send them to me or you.
Sure. They can come to me. Send them to info@rstechteam.com. Just make sure that you put in the subject line top 5 reasons to use a ticketing system. Otherwise, I'm going to have no idea what you're talking about when I just get a list of things.
Or how about if they make it simple? How about if they just put top 5?
Sure. Top 5 words.
Top 5.
Whatever,
top 5
whatever you
subject line. We make it simple for you.
If it says anything but top 5, your email will be rejected.
That's right.
Auto spam. Oh, wait. That's my main. Okay, whatever. We'll figure it out. Send it.
Or if that doesn't work for you, you could also send them, and I will gather them to podnuts@podnuts.com. Either way. And we will definitely, we'll put that information together. Yeah. If you send them to me, I'm probably going to forward them to Chris anyway, so he can take a look at them.
Yeah.
And then what do they win, or what can they possibly win?
So the winner, if you choose to take it, although if you choose not to take it, we'll go to the next person, is going to get some free time on our ticketing system. And now I don't have the sheet in front of me. I can't remember how long we said that it was going to be, but I think we said it was for 6 months or a year.
Yeah, one of the two.
It will be in the show notes.
I thought we
said it will be in the show notes.
Yeah. You know what? You put that information. It is in the show notes, I think, from a couple weeks ago. All right.
It is. We'll work it out.
Yes. Yes. You're going to win something cool that you can use in your business, which is cool. So all you got to do, here's the thing. Chris, how many have you gotten so far?
None.
Okay. Zero. So your chances to win are very, very, very good.
Oh, yeah. In fact, if you send one to me in the next 5 hours, you have a better chance than every other person listening right now.
Of course, there's only 15 people watching right now, but you know.
That's not the point, though, because a 1-in-1 chance is a really great chance, but a 1-in-2 chance, now we're starting to get interesting.
All right. So, yeah, definitely do that. Send those out. And, yeah, your chances are really good. Now, how long are we doing the contest for? What did we say? Let's put a month date on it.
Put a month date on it?
August?
Why don't we... August 1st.
Okay.
Well, wait. When's the closest show to that?
That's too long.
Well, it... Yeah, but going from zero now. Yeah, we're leaving June and going into July. It's not too long.
All right, end of July, August 1st.
So whatever that first Sunday is in August, that is when we will announce
the
winner.
First, you know what? No, because that makes it the 6th. We're going to make it July 30th.
Okay, perfect.
So you have to have your email in by July 29th to be considered.
There you go. So definitely take the time and do that. All right, so executive decision time. We're not doing a show next week.
All right.
Okay.
Darn.
No show next week. We're going to, you know what? Take the 4th of July weekend and enjoy the holiday. And I will enjoy not only the holiday, but my anniversary. And that way, if I decide to go somewhere, not that I'm bogged down by the show, but I'm going to have the freedom to be able to do that. So we'll go ahead and do that. And then we'll come back. I know, I'm sorry, because Paco's kind of bumming because he's only on every other week. But positive, you were able to come on this week, so that kind of makes up for it. Right, buddy?
Yeah, buddy.
Sure, I'm sure your wife will appreciate you not having to worry about the show.
Yes, she will. All right, so come join us live for a Computer Repair Podcast almost every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern over at podnuts.com/Computer Repair Podcast Live. Mouthful. Join in on the conversation by calling in live and hanging out in the chat room. You can also send an email to podnuts@podnuts.com or leave a voicemail. Have your voice right next to ours at 1-888-697-0162. We have audio available over at podnuts.com or subscribe using your favorite podcatcher. You can be notified when the show is live by subscribing to our YouTube channel, Computer Repair Podcast. I know this is an exciting number to me, and it should be an exciting number to you. We have 800 YouTube subscribers. Woohoo! I appreciate everybody that has subscribed to our YouTube channel because it lets you know when we're bringing the next show out, so you got an idea of what's going on. All right, and I want to thank everyone for listening and subscribing to the show. We definitely appreciate each and every one of you. We'll see you next time on Podnuts, the Computer Repair Podcast.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.